Hey everyone, how you doing? This is Amon Green, the Green Bay Packers all-time leading rusher, and you're listening to The Average Cheese, hosted by Dell and Todd, two lifelong Packer fans talking about their favorite team, the 13-time champion, Green Bay Packers. Go Pack, go.
What the hell's going on out here? Everybody's grabbing out there. Nobody's touching. Get grabbing, everybody.
Trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
So welcome to episode 165 of the Average Cheese Podcast. It's the draft guru, Peter Jones, and the Average Cheesehead. For episode 166, thanks to Rhonda and the folks at R&M Management. Thanks to Dwight at DDGCustoms.com. And thanks to Dan and the folks at Bob Anderson Builders. Peter, it's great to see you again. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back after two or three weeks on the bench. I've been activated back to the main roster, and here I am. Yes, good to be here.
Man, we got a lot to talk about because the combine happened last week. Before we even get to any of that stuff, how is the draft guide? If you've never listened to us before, Peter puts out a draft guide, which is like 1,000 pages. He puts it out 100%. For free. You can find that on the UK Packers. We'll link to it. You can also find it on averagecheese.com, which we will put out as a link to their page. How is that going? How's the draft guide?
It's going pretty well. I mean, it's this time of year, it gets really, really busy. Like you say, we've got the combine, where the HBCU combine a couple of weeks ago, Senior Bowl, etc., etc. So it's this time of year, it gets really busy. Yeah, it's getting there. Yeah. So this is the month, you know, kind of the last month. Sometime usually 10th-ish of April, that kind of time, maybe a little bit later than that, 2 weeks or so before the draft that comes out. So got a month or so to get it finished.
So just to be clear, about April 10th, we're going to see the draft guide.
April 10th-ish. I just pulled that date out of the top of my head, but it's normally just about 2 weeks before the draft. So I guess that's going to be like April 15th, something like that kind of date.
Okay. 14th. Good to know, because people have asked me when the draft guide is coming out. I said, I don't know. I'll ask the man. So we recorded last week and that episode still hasn't come out, but I'm going to ask you, Peter, what are your thoughts on the Rashawn Gary restructure? Is anything surprise you at all?
No, I mean, I think, you know, relatively simple restructure, basically converting piece of the base salary into signing bonus, which spreads that over the next 3 years. You know, from Rashawn Gary's point of view, he gets that piece of money up front, so it works for him as well. Saves the Packers million
1.7, on the cap, something like that,
number on the cap this year. And I think, you know, that's the kind of move, short of cutting players, and we'll probably get to that on next week's episode or whether when free agency starts, but I think short of cutting players, those are the kinds of moves that every team has to make at this time of year to get themselves in a better cap position.
Should we read anything into it, or is it just simply we need to have money so we can sign guys and see what we can do in free agency?
I think it's exactly that, and you have to remember you've got the draft coming up, so you're going to have the money to sign those draft picks, which is going to be somewhere in the region of $13 million. So yeah, I mean, you can be under the cap at any particular point in time, but you know that you've got costs coming up, whether it's the draft class and eventually it's the practice squad and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, save money when you can, or move money around when you can.
Preston Smith has also reworked his deal. Preston Smith is a good player. You got to have some kind of sprinkling of young guys and old guys on your roster if you think you're going to make a deep run in the playoffs. A lot of Preston Smith's money is going to come unlikely to happen circumstances. If he gets over 10 sacks, then he gets a certain amount of money. How does that work with the money?
So I guess there's two moves that they're pretty much made with the Preston Smith contract. One was reduce the base salary by, I think it's in the region of $2.4 million, which immediately gives the Packers back $2.4 million towards their cap. And then they've added these incentives to that contract, so that in essence he can earn that money back. Those will be not likely to be earned bonuses. And pretty much the way that works is if he didn't achieve that number last year, it becomes, in this case, let's say 10 sacks. If he didn't achieve 10 sacks this last year, it becomes known as a not likely to be earned bonus, which means it doesn't count against this year's cap. Even if he hits the number, it will count against next year's cap. If in reverse, it was a likely to be earned bonus, so if he had got 10 sacks last year and hit it this year, it counts on his on the cap this year. And then if he didn't achieve it, it comes back as a credit next year. So in this instance, the other way around, it will never count on the Packers cap this year again. So it's something that even if he achieves it, it's kicked into next year.
Now I understand why it was unlikely to happen, because he didn't do it the year before. Yeah. I don't think I ever understood that. And on the opposite end of that, this is not Packer related. Russell Wilson was let go from the Denver Broncos. There's a lot of things that come into it for me. Like, why would you hire a coach who clearly didn't want Russell Wilson as his quarterback after you just signed Russell Wilson to a buttload of money, spent a buttload of picks on it? Like, none of those things make any sense. Any initial thoughts on the Russell Wilson thing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll officially be released on the 13th when the new league year starts. In this era of free agency and salary cap, I think making a trade where you have to give up a whole bunch of draft picks, knowing that you're also going to be hit with a huge salary, is kind of a double whammy. So it's not even like the old days, you know, the old, for example, the Herschel Walker trade when all those picks ended up at Dallas and all of that kind of thing. That was a single whammy, if you like. Now you have this double whammy of draft picks and salary cap. And it's a hugely difficult one because, you know, the circumstances at Denver changed with Nathaniel Hackett being gone, Sean Payton coming in, clearly wasn't the quarterback that Payton wanted, but he was already there. You almost feel like if you commit to make a trade of that size, you've also got to commit to the coaching staff that you've got at the point that you make that trade. I know that's really difficult. And
the whole thing is a mess. Kind of smacks to me of the GM is just doing things, making moves to make moves. I made this Russell Wilson move. Didn't quite work out. I'm going to make this big move with the coach. I'm going to hire Sean Payton, who's a big name. I'm going to pay him a shitload of money. It feels Raider-esque to me.
Circumstances have almost conspired against them in a little bit. Whether the trade or not, circumstances conspired against them when they decided that they needed to move on from the head coach. Then you've got this difficult situation, of, as we just described. Even if the salary cap wasn't involved, two number ones, two number twos, a fifth rounder, plus the players, Noah Fant and Drew Lock, who the Packers liked, by the way. You know, that is a lot to give up. And I get that. I get it for a franchise quarterback. I absolutely get it. Yeah. I mean, they've just ended up in a difficult situation. Now, the converse is, at some point, do you just, if it isn't working for you, do you just bite the bullet and say, we can continue down a track where this isn't really what we want to do, or we can just bite the bullet for this year. Let's just do it. It is what it is. We see where we are, but at least into next year, we've now moved on from it.
Well, they have 2 years of cap issue. If they release him after that date, I'm with you. And Russell Wilson is not the guy they thought they were getting. He's not the player he was in the past. So cutting bait, where do you go from here? You have Sean Payton. Does he develop a young quarterback? I think that's the only way they can go. There's no free agent quarterback that you can bring in that's going to turn your franchise around immediately.
That's the question, isn't it? Is there typically isn't going to be a free agent quarterback out there, because, you know, the guys that you really want to run your franchise for the next few years, lead your franchise, they're not going to be available in free agency. The difficulty that Denver has is they pick 12th. Clearly, Caleb Williams obviously is off the board. Daniels is off the board. Drake May is off the board. So that first group of quarterbacks, in whichever order you want to put those guys on, wherever they go, Williams clearly goes number one, but up. But after that, those guys could go probably anywhere in the top five. That upper echelon, if you like, of quarterbacks isn't there when they pick. Maybe J.J. McCarthy of Michigan is there at 12. Well, I was going to say, that's a guy with super, super arm, fantastic arm, as good an arm probably as anybody's got in this draft, or very close to it. But it isn't a guy that's had to, Michigan hasn't had to ride on his back to get to the national championship. He's not a guy that's going out there throwing the ball all over the field, throwing for 400 yards here and 450 yards there. He hasn't had to be that kind of quarterback. Now, that's not to say that he can't be, but he hasn't had to do that, doesn't have the experience of doing that. So you suspect that he's a guy that's probably going to sit for a while. And even if he doesn't, you're not going to ride him like you would ride perhaps a Caleb Williams or whoever. So I don't think he's an instant answer if that were to be the pick at 12. You know, a guy like Michael Penix, who's going to go a lot later in the draft, is probably more suited to come in and play straight away.
on a sad note or a sadder note, Chris Mortensen, who we grew up watching, he was the guy, right? Now he's been not replaced, but there have been other guys that have come after him. I wonder if they'll do something for him at the draft, during the draft.
Yeah, I hope so. And especially as, you know, ESPN covers the draft. Like you, he's kind of the guy that, he was kind of the first kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, NFL analyst that kind of reported on off the field stuff. This team's looking to trade for this guy and all
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, the insider, the Jay Glazer from 1996 or whatever.
Yeah. That kind of guy. And he was always there, wasn't he? It's like Morty. And he was a guy that you listened to and you believed when he said stuff. And he did it in a manner which was never, it was always upbeat and it was always positive. And there wasn't any scandalous kind of stuff. And he was just the kind of guy that came across the screen as a guy that you'd like. You know, it's sad. And 72 is way too young.
Let's talk a little bit about the combine.
Sure.
All right. The first thing is, is the combine losing its luster because of all the pro days that kids are doing now?
It's changing its shape in terms of its value. And we've seen more and more of it in recent years, and especially this year. I think if you're right at the top of the draft, then you're very secure. Top 5 picks, top 10 picks, maybe. The value of working out at the combine and that kind of thing is lessened because you've got nothing to gain for those guys. And then, you know, their pro day perhaps becomes more important. But again, I think for those guys, you know, their pro day is going to be lessened because, again, they've really got nothing to gain from those pro days. The real interest for me in the combine is when you get beyond those top 10, 15 guys and you start looking at bottom end of the first round, second round, third round guys, etc., is to get to see guys work out, but also get to confirm or otherwise what you thought you knew about those guys. For example, if you take the guy from Texas, the wide receiver Xavier Worthy, that just ran a record 4.21 in the 40, we always knew that he was going to be a speedy guy. Whilst that's a fantastic time, absolutely fantastic, for me, it doesn't change very much about his draft status because that's pretty much, give or take, I would have expected him to run 4.3, right? That kind of number. So yes, he's slightly faster than that, but I've already baked into the fact that he's fast. So you have to be careful about not double dipping in terms of somebody's attributes like that.
But then that does to the we shouldn't run at the combine because there's no benefit for him to run at the combine. Even though he burned it and was the fastest guy ever, it didn't help him. It can only hurt guys.
For me as an amateur draft guy, pretty much confirmed what I thought I knew.
Okay.
Right? Give or take a few hundredths of a second. There may be one team out of 32, because it only takes one, because of that performance, has moved him up 10 or 15 spots on their draft board, because it just takes one team. You don't have to look brilliant for 32 teams. You just got to look good for one of them.
Are there guys that you look at and go, this guy improved his draft status drastically with his combine? Is there a guy that sticks out to you?
Typically, there's very few that would improve it drastically, right? So I'm a great believer in, you've watched a guy for 2 years or 3 years or maybe 4 years or even 5 years. If you don't get a good feeling about that guy after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, why would you get a massive change on that guy in 1 weekend? Because ultimately it comes down to what they do on the field.
That's not always the case, Peter.
No.
Because guys like Rona, they all of a sudden show out at the combine and they go around fast, you know, earlier than they should have.
Like I say, I think that we have to be cautious about that, but it only takes one team. So in essence, 96% of the teams can be cautious. It just takes the one for somebody to go a round or two higher than they should. Now, I think sometimes, of course, you get the opposite that happens where a combine doesn't work out for a guy, and sometimes not always through the drills. I can't remember how many years ago it was. There was a pass rusher from one of the Florida schools who was a potential first round pick, and through the interview process, started dropping down boards even before we got to the drills. And
did you hear the moron that says the earth is flat?
I did.
And he didn't believe in space? Jesus Christ. What? Young man, you went to a college. You're not coming out of preschool. These are words that should never come out of your mouth. You're about to get paid a buttload of money. You might want to tone down the crazy or tone down the stupid talk, because god dang. Even Marcy was like, what? Why would you draft that guy? No one's ever fallen off the earth, sir. It ain't flat. That's why I say these things, so you don't have to.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you were drafting, would that answer influence your drafting of that guy?
1,000% it would. It would because, one, either you're an idiot and you actually believe the words coming out of your mouth, or two, you don't take this interview seriously. And you're saying shit that makes me think that you don't think that this is a real deal, that this is a job interview. So I don't draft that guy. And isn't he a safety? I can't remember. He's from Texas A&M. I can't remember who he was even. I don't touch him. I immediately take him off the board. Let that be a lesson to you, you know, future combine people, even though Dale's nowhere near the combine. I will not draft you if you're an idiot. Unless you run like a 4.2140 and
Oh, there we go.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I would not draft that guy. There's nothing that would make me draft him. So anybody that fell, like anybody's numbers that were so surprisingly bad that they may have dropped a round or two.
One or two guys that kind of ran slower than you would expect. Tavondre Sweat, who's the huge defensive tackle, is like 300 and I can't remember what he weighed in at, but like 372 pounds or whatever, ran 5 point and a lot in the 40. But again, you see, for me, this was a guy that didn't weigh in at the Senior Bowl, which was already a
red flag.
I wonder why, at least. And I always thought that, and this is just my kind of view, that I won't call him totally one-dimensional, but he's a huge nose tackle type.
Yeah, he's a zero guy.
Yeah, so for me, I already had him as probably, I don't know where he is on my list, but kind of a second round grade, and he probably sticks there. I think for some people that may have had him higher, he's probably fallen.
That doesn't affect me at all. I don't need my nose guard to run a 5.0 40. He's never going to carry the football, push the center back into the quarterback. That's what I care about. What is he, bench press? That I would care about, actually. Like, can he stand up a lineman?
And that's why, you know, you have to be careful about all of these numbers. I remember going back a few years, but I was a great old Campbell fan as a kid. And I remember that the Houston Oilers back then, they used to run like a mile cross country, right, as part of their training regime. That wasn't really Earl's thing. And Bum Phillips, who was the coach back then, was asked about it by the reporters and said, you know, Earl can't manage to run a mile. And, you know, and Bum Phillips' response was, well, when it's third down and a mile, I won't hand him the football.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You don't care if he can run a mile.
Yeah,
when he gets tired, I'll pull him out of the game. I saw that is his last name Newbin?
Yeah, Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota.
He ran a 4.65 or something like that. Did he run? Can they run it more than one time?
Twice.
Oh, so was that his average?
Yeah, no, that was his best. That was his best.
Oh, that was his best score.
And again, you know, that was kind of the area that I would have expected him to run. Maybe a little bit quicker than that, but not. That was always the kind of why he was, let's say, probably a high to middle second round grade rather than a towards the end of the first round grade. You know, he's a good football player, gets his hands on the football a lot, picks off passes, anticipates a lot or whatever, but it was that kind of top-notch speed, which was always the question mark.
It takes him out of the first round for you.
I think so, yeah. I mean, he was one of those guys that I had a second round grade on, but once you get to kind of like pick 20 or so, those guys can easily slip into the bottom half of the first round. And
sure. Does he now fall to round two, end of round two, where, I mean, I know the Packers have picks before that, but does he fall that far because of his 40th time?
I don't think so. And part of that may be because this isn't a great safety class. The other safety that people have talked about for quite some time, Cam Kinchins out of Miami, had a less than stellar combine. He's dropped as well. You know, and it may well be the guy that we talked about a few weeks ago, Cooper DeGene out of Iowa, who is still rehabbing his late season injury. Didn't work out at a combine. It could well be that that guy turns out to be the first safety off the board. Corner in college, but we talked about his potential to play safety, and that could be the position for him.
If you had your choice between Kinchins and Newbin, which player fits the Packers, or which player would you draft as a Packer?
Oh, the guy that I would draft is Newbin. I think that other than speed, and yeah, you know, it's a question. But other than that, I think he's a super all-round safety, gets up and plays the run. I think there's lots to like about him. Yeah, he doesn't have the top-notch speed, but that's why he's a second-round guy. But for me, there isn't a question. It would be Newbin over Kinchin. The other guy that I really like, and you should like this guy because he was a high school wrestler.
I already do then.
Is Peyton Wilson at North Carolina State, the linebacker?
Yeah, I put that on Twitter, Peter.
Right.
I did. Like 2 weeks ago.
There you go.
And that was before he ran that blistering 40 times.
Right. So we knew he was a good athlete, but but, you know, come out and run 4.43 in the 40 was, it confirmed what we hoped and probably was slightly better than we could have hoped for. I don't know what his nickname is. I nickname him Meatloaf because he plays like a bat out of hell. Right? So the guy just makes plays. He's speedy, athletic, makes plays, plays the run, can blitz, drop in a coverage. For me, he does it all. The big question mark over Peyton Wilson is his injury history, which is bad. So multiple shoulder injuries, ACL injury. So the first 3 years or so of his college career were kind of blighted by injuries. But when
he blew his ACL and still ran a 4.43 40.
So when he gets on the field, he just makes plays. You know, you can look at every part of the game that you would like for a linebacker, and he's got it. Where he goes in this draft, I think, is a big question, because we're not seeing the medical reports. We don't know what that stuff's saying. And I think for the Packers, who are looking for that 4-3 linebacker, probably a guy that can either play in the middle or the weak side, I would love him for the Packers, assuming that he's medically okay.
He's like 6'4". He's a pretty tall dude. 6'4". Like 230, 235.
Yeah. So you'd like a little bit more bulk, but it's fine. I'd give up that 5 or 10 pounds bulk for a guy that can play. And he can really play. And I just don't know where he goes in this draft. You know,
you don't think that he will drop to the Packers, do you? Because that feels like a pretty far drop after this weekend.
I don't think he goes in the first round, if that's your
Really?
Yeah. I think just because of that medical history, partly the same issue. There are other questions, but partly the same issue that Michael Penix has got. I think without that, yeah, you could easily see him being taken pick 20 or that kind of area. But I think he's probably a second round guy because of that injury. If you're the Packers and he's sitting there with the pick that you got from the Jets, would you take him? I would take him, assuming the medical stuff is as okay as they can, you know, as they can find out right now.
Interesting.
But I love him as a
player.
Yeah,
me too. I love him. Yeah, I can't remember when I put that out there, but once I saw that he was a wrestler, I'm like, I'm in. Plus, he's a linebacker. You want guys that want to stick their face in there, right? That aren't afraid to get hit and have contact. You already got two of those guys on a roster. You need to have someone that's not afraid to get involved with things. Anybody else you want to talk about regards to like needs for the Packers or guys, anything about the combine? I'm here to listen.
Lots of stories at the combine. You know, if you look at the very top with, you know, the guys not throwing, that's not unusual. Caleb Williams not making his medical information available to all 32 teams. Only going to make it available to those teams that he thinks have got a chance of drafting him. I kind of get that, but it's completely new. Nobody's done that before. You know, Marvin Harrison not taking part in the drills and not taking part in the media events either, which is kind of, I don't think anybody's gone through that before. So some interesting stuff there. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Cooper DeJean didn't take part, and Graham Barton, the other guy that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, he didn't take part either. So they're both rehabbing. So I seem to be picking those guys that are currently rehabbing.
Are we going to have a guy this week too? I never asked you.
I think the closest guy that we've got this week is Peyton Wilson. He absolutely, for me, could be a Packer if they're prepared to go down that route, because they need that linebacker. So, you know, if you were to come out with either Barton or DeJean in round one, and Barton may be there at the even when they pick with the Jets pick in round two, so you could go DeJean, Barton, Peyton Wilson. Thank you very much. Draft done.
Nice.
You
know? I love all that.
So the other guy that's kind of got kind of a Packer, well, there's a few guys that kind of got kind of a Packer link in the draft, but one guy who had a good combine, ran a 4.39 in the 40, is Max Melton, who's the cornerback out of Rutgers, and he's the brother of Packers wide receiver Bo Melton. And he certainly did his chances, you know, no harm at all. Now, he's not a guy that's going, you know, he's not in the top echelon of those corners, but it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Maybe the Packers would like to get the brothers together.
Yeah. God knows we're going to need some corner depth. Do we know why the Miltons went to Rutgers? Like, maybe they just weren't as highly touted out of high school and that's part of it. I don't know. And maybe they wanted to play together. I mean, that's a thing. Let me ask you a question about the combine. Do quarterbacks throw at their pro days because they can control the narrative? Or do teams have a say in what throws they want to see? Does that make sense? Like at the combine, I feel like you have to do this, 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 and this. Like this is what everybody's doing. At the pro day, can they do whatever they want?
Theoretically, they could, but the teams are going to want to see certain things. What helps at the pro day is typically they're in a familiar environment, and also probably throwing to wide receivers and tight ends that they know. That has to help. I think that's probably the main thing as to why a guy would throw at his pro day and not at the combine. I think the other thing is there isn't a comparative thing, right? So at my pro day, I'm probably not amongst any other quarterbacks.
Right. That's a good point. Like if your arm strength, it's not like they're doing, they don't have a gun. They don't have a gun on them at the combine to see how fast they're throwing it, do they?
They've done it. I didn't see it this year.
Yeah, like you don't want to go behind someone with a rocket for an arm when you got a lollipop because you're like, whoa, you make you look real bad. What else?
I mean, I guess there's a big concentration, isn't there, towards the top of the draft on what's going to happen there. Interesting that, you know, the first 10 picks could well all be offensive guys. The majority are certainly going to be, you know, three quarterbacks are going to go, who knows, three wide receivers probably, throw in a couple of tackles, and you've got eight of the top 10 picks straight away that are offensive guys, which is quite unusual. And I think, you know, the strengths of this draft are obviously quarterback early, offensive tackle, wide receiver, and in fact, interior offensive line is pretty strong, which is unusual. So although you're not going to see those guys go in the top 10, there's lots of them that you could see go end of first round, second round, which is unusual. And it's probably a good thing for the Packers because
that's what we need. Todd and I talked about our top five needs in no particular order because we had different. Yeah. Him and I picked them individually. Safety, linebacker, corner, offensive line, running back. You usually have a guy, and we don't have to talk about him today, but there's a running back in this draft that you like on day three. I'm sure of it. You do not have to divulge that information today if you'd like, but I would like to know who is the next Aaron Jones that the Packers will draft.
There is a guy. Before I get to him, I mean, I think the running back position's an interesting one in this draft. Probably nobody goes in the first round, back to kind of where we were 2 years ago. I mean, obviously we had Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs go early last year, but we're kind of back to the normal running back thing in this draft. But there's a whole bunch of guys, round two, round three, round four. Who knows what order that those guys go in? You know, it's going to be a case of who's the guy that you like. I think that Wisconsin's Braylon Allen is in that mix. Do you know who I see a lot of when I watch Braylon Allen? AJ Dillon.
You know, that's funny you're going to say that because I was going to say that. That's exactly what I see. A young man who cannot create his own hole, if he's in the right system, could be amazing, runs yep. fast, looks like he's chiseled out of fucking iron, but he didn't do anything this year. He was great as a freshman, but the line was better when he was a freshman, and I don't think he's ever been that guy. So yes, I'm with you. He is AJ Dillon. Packers are going to draft him in the second round.
There's a whole bunch of backs there, but the guy I think pretty close to Aaron Jones in terms of running style, suits an outside zone offense, catch the ball. So a lot of the same kind of attributes as Aaron Jones is Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. The question is going to be, where does he go? Because he's probably in that mix of about eight running backs that could go anywhere from round two to round four. Who knows? You know, and it may be the situation with these running backs that none of them go. And then as soon as one goes, a whole bunch of them go.
Yep.
But Jalen Wright out of Tennessee would be the guy that I would like, certainly in that kind of round 2-3-4 area. Not sure where he's going to go. 4-3-8 in the 40. A little bit bigger than Aaron Jones. 5'11", 210. But that kind of area. Good outside runner. But you'll see lots of film of him running between the tackles. Can catch the ball. It's kind of a dynamic running back, a bit like Aaron Jones is. I really like him. He's just over 21 years old, so he's a young guy. And that would be the guy, if I could have a choice of any of those backs, I think he's the one that's most suited to the Packers offense, and that would be the guy that I would have. But I just don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know what the Packers are thinking in terms of how high do they want to take a running back. You know, there may be a guy at the back end of the draft that I have to look at that. I mean, we picked out guys in the past, haven't we, like Kylan Hill that we really liked. So we'll see if there's one at the back end of the draft. I'm sure there is.
Anything else?
Probably it for the time being. I'm all combined out.
That sounds good. All right. So thanks for listening to episode 166 of the Average Cheese Podcast. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.